S3 podcast. Today's episode 35, we will be discussing TikTok star Justine Paradise, James Charles, and racial reckoning. Straight in, you may have noticed that our artwork and name of our podcast has changed, and that is due to a number of other podcasts have had the same name, so I wanted to shorten it. So I came up with S3. S stands for scars or scar, and the number 3, it represents past, present and future. So I thought it was pretty fitting. But with that aside, let's jump straight into the first topic. A star on the social media platform TikTok said that YouTube star turned boxer Jake Paul forced her into a sex act without consent in the summer of 2019. Justine Paradise said in a 20-minute video posted on YouTube last Friday that she didn't say anything about the alleged attack sooner because she signed a non-disclosure agreement and thought that it would have broken the contract. In a statement to ESPN, attorney Daniel E. Gollenschwartz, who works for the law firm Solomon Ward Sydenham and Smith LLP, said Paul categorically denies the allegation and will pursue legal action against those responsible for the defamation of character. Now, for those of you who don't use YouTube or don't have any interest, Jake Paul is, and I want to make this clear that I am in no way diagnosing, this is just my opinion, and I'm going to use the word allegedly in my defense. Jake Paul, in my opinion, has narcissistic tendencies. Also, he has history of this kind of thing. He has been in numerous, controversies throughout his YouTube career. And this is just another case of someone clearly not learning from their mistakes. In the lengthy video, Paradise said she met Paul several times in June and July of 2019 at the Team 10 house, a Los Angeles mansion where several social media stars lived and worked. Paradise said that on July 20th, 2019, she felt like she made it clear to Paul that she did not want to go any further than just kissing, but Paul forced her to have oral sex. He didn't ask for consent or anything. Paradise said in the video, he knew I didn't want to do anything with him. Paradise made no mention about taking the information to law enforcement. Paul later responded on Twitter on Tuesday saying, this claim made against me is 100% false, and that he never had a sexual relationship with this individual. And again, allegedly, this is also another one of his skills in that he deepens himself further and further in the hole, because there are text messages saved. So, he knew what he was doing. Sexual assault accusations aren't something that I or anyone should ever take lightly. But to be crystal clear, this claim made against me is 100% false. Paul said as part of his post, I will fight this to the end to prove my innocence. Paul, 24, has gained notoriety in the boxing world since he knocked out former NBA player Nate Robinson last November. Paul is scheduled to fight former UFC fighter Ben Askren in a boxing match Saturday in Atlanta, and he has called out the likes of UFC stars Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz for future boxing matches. Basically, there's Jake Paul and there's his brother Logan Paul, who him himself has been in some controversial, you know, situations in his YouTube career. Jake Paul has been in several of these himself and he still hasn't learned. And saying he wants to fight this till the end to prove my innocence, well, normally that would be the case. But when you are someone like Jake Paul who thinks he can get away with anything, again, in my opinion, he has allegedly has narcissistic tendencies. So he believes that he can get away with anything. So why wouldn't he think he could get away with this? But I thought that was important to mention. You know, sexual assault is not to be joked about or messed with. And I feel as if people like Jake Paul, you know, they take things to the extreme, but in reality they end up doing more damage because he's basically saying it's false when you've got Jake Paul's side and you've got Justine Paradise's side. Now, if you want to go and check out her video that she did, look her up on YouTube, Justine Paradise. That's Justine. Then it's Paradise. And I'm sure the video she did will pop up. I firmly stand behind Justine Paradise. You know, I have no reason to question her credibility. Right, I believe her. You know, that's my opinion. You know, I will leave it up to you to watch the video and make up your own opinion. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, let's move on to someone else who clearly has not learned from his mistakes. YouTube has restricted the ability for the popular makeup vlogger James Charles to make money from the online video platform, following underage sexting and grooming allegations. Charles, who is a beauty influencer with 25.5 million subscribers on YouTube, has been accused by more than 15 men and boys of sexual misconduct, with some alleging underage sexting took place. Although YouTube did not say for how long Charles's channel would be demonetized, they did say that it was part of its creator responsibility policy. In a statement to The Guardian, the company said, "We can confirm that we have applied our creator responsibility policy and temporarily removed James Charles from the YouTube Partner Program." The policy states, "If we see that a creator's on and off the platform behavior harms our users, community, employees or ecosystem, we may take action to protect the community." It adds that YouTube may take action against creators who intend to cause malicious harm to others or who cause real world harm via abuse, violence, cruelty or fraudulent or deceptive behaviour, reports Insider. Now, there's a bit of a situation with YouTube at the minute, as I don't know if any of you are aware that Shane Dawson has had his, you know, YouTube career damaged because of the things he's done and continued to do, thinking that he could get away with it. The same thing has now happened to Jake Paul, although that's his fault because he keeps making the same mistakes. And now James Charles, who was quoted as YouTube's golden boy, but now YouTube has had no choice but to, you know, do what they did, because otherwise they would have faced backlash. Last week, the beauty brand Morphe cut ties with Charles in a statement posted to Twitter. The company wrote, In light of the recent allegations against James Charles, Murphy and James have agreed to end our business relationship and wind down sales of the Murphy X James Charles product offering they began their collaboration in 2018. In his own statement, Charles said the ceasing of the partnership was mutually agreed. Well, that's what he had to say in the statement. Additionally, Variety announced that Charles had been replaced by Zach Shay as the host of YouTube's competition show Instant Influencer. YouTube declined to comment on Variety's claims. Earlier in the month, Charles posted a video in which he addressed the allegations and apologised for his behaviour. In the video, entitled Holding Myself Accountable, he said of the underage sexting allegations, "I was being reckless. These conversations should have never have happened." No, you're right. At this point, you're 20, either 20, 21 year old, and he's 16 underage boys. As a celebrity, which he is, right, if you're going to talk to someone, and his big, and one of his mistakes is James Charles treated social media like a dating profile. He used it as a dating app, which is not the right way of going about it. Also, he never asked for identification, so he's got no one to blame but himself. He alleged that two of the accusers had pretended to be adults. "I trusted the information that was given to me rather than the information I could have and should have gotten myself." He also spoke about taking legal action against anyone who had spread misinformation and created fake stories. Well, first of all, never ever trust the information given, because people and boys can always lie. What he should have done is asked for identification, ID, confirmation of proof of age, but it didn't, and that clearly didn't stop him. Charles added that he had used Instagram and TikTok as dating apps, and now understood the problems that can cause. "A power imbalance can happen when it's not intentional." Intentional, he said. "What I wasn't getting before is that the excitement that comes with talking to a celebrity is literally enough to make somebody do or say something that they normally wouldn't, even if that celebrity isn't intentionally weaponizing their fame, money or power. And that's the concept that I just wasn't getting, but I now do. So all of a sudden, because you've written this statement, you now get it. Somehow I don't believe that. The Guardian has reached out to Charles for additional comment. This article was amended on 23rd of April 2021. Charles said he had used Instagram as dating apps, not YouTube, as an earlier version said. So this article was amended. That's that. Right. On to the third and final one. The ancestors of a black family forced out of a business nearly 100 years ago by officials of a wealthy coastal city south of Los Angeles are on the verge of recouping what once belonged to them. On Tuesday, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to begin the process of transferring beachfront property to the descendants of Charles and Willa Bruce, whose once thriving resort in affluent Manhattan Beach was taken under eminent domain in 1924. A statewide bill was also introduced earlier this month that will allow Los Angeles County to return the land to the Bruce family's descendants. Returning Bruce's Beach to the family that first developed the land is part of California's broader push toward reckoning with its checkered past, which also includes reforming the criminal justice system and creating a pathway for reparation payments to descendants of slaves. "People are looking at different kinds of ways to not just to rectify the racial injustice that happened last year, when George Floyd was killed by Minneapolis police, but the racial injustice that's been going on in the United States for years. Historian Alison Rose Jefferson said, "We're at a time where we have more people in power who are willing to think about this as an option. In addition to a statewide bill that would remove legal barriers to returning the beachfront property to the Bruce family, California lawmakers are also weighing multiple proposals aimed at recalibrating the criminal justice system. This includes creating a pathway to decertify police officers who commit serious misconduct or violate a person's civil rights. The amendment bill, which was first introduced in 2019 by State Senate Stephen Bradford, a Democrat from Gardena, is named after a 25-year-old black man who was shot and killed by police in 2018. Bradford is also behind other reform efforts, including the creation of a cannabis equity program that would funnel millions in grant money to communities disproportionately affected by the so-called war on drugs. Bradford was appointed in February to task force that will study and develop reparation proposals for black Californians descended from slaves. In a statement issued at the time of his appointment to the task force, he said, "This is not just about slavery, but about paying back a debt to those who have been mistreated for so long." And he has a point. Never has the trauma of 4 million enslaved people and their descendants and the impact it continues to have been meaningfully acknowledged or addressed by our nation. He said, "The consequences of these actions are felt today in many forms, not the least of which are the major disparities in life outcomes, such as economic opportunity and quality of healthcare." Last year, California officials weighed a bill that would have encouraged public spaces, including parks, libraries, and museums, to add statements acknowledging that institutions were founded upon exclusions and erasures of many indigenous people. The bill passed in the state assembly, but later died in the Senate. In Southern California, Bruce's Beach, now commemorated by a plaque in the middle of a lush green park near the original beachfront property, has long stood as a reminder of Manhattan Beach's dubious history. Wedged between residential streets, the park offers impressive views of the Pacific Ocean and one of the few green spaces in an otherwise heavily developed beach haven for wealthy residents, less than 1% of whom are black, according to census data. The parcel of land once owned by the Bruce was transferred to the state and then to Los Angeles County in 1995. It currently houses the Lifeguard Training Center. Charles and Willow Bruce first purchased their land in 1912, just as Manhattan Beach was becoming a popular destination for people from all over Southern California. Trolleys and trains carried passengers from as far as Pasadena, some 30 miles away near the San Gabriel Mountains. Their vision had been to build a coastal oasis where black families could swim and mingle without being targeted or harassed. They were pioneers, Jefferson said. It was successful from day one, and the African Americans there were harassed from day one. "It is traumatic to families to know that their history," he said. Returning Bruce's Beach would certainly repair the damage done to Charles and Willow's family, who lost out on generational wealth, but it can never repay the trauma inflicted by the KKK. Manhattan Beach city officials said they will not offer a formal apology to the family despite repeated pleas from Hahn, county leaders, and many residents. Instead, city council members adopted a resolution earlier this month acknowledging and condemning the city's past action and agreeing to install new historical markers at the site. The city's refusal to apologise underscores the tension between reckoning with injustice and finding a path forward. According to Vilma Ortiz, sociology professor at the University of California. Apologies are a really important first step. They show acknowledgement that things happened, that we're wrong, and it suggests people are going to change, she said. Apologies are good, but they're not enough. Do you follow us on Instagram at S3podcast_, as well as Facebook, S3podcast_, and also follow us on all of our podcast platforms.